Hello, Smagpies, and welcome to the Smagcast, episode number 50. This is Group Solitaire Edition, and I am Kevin Heyman, coming to you from downtown Internet. So, this week, as I said, Group Solitaire, and I'm going to talk a little bit about webcomics, and the making of webcomics, to be specific, because, Lord knows, I've been doing it a while. Now, my first comic, of course, was Coda's World, which ran from 2000 to 2005. And it was a good series for what it was, which was a learning experience, a way to learn how to tell stories. And I didn't learn everything doing that. I picked up a lot at the beginning, few issues of Aaron Apprentice, but I learned a lot about webcomics and storytelling and art and layout and stuff from Coda's World. And the one thing I've always thought, and I mean always thought, is that if I ever had the chance, I would love to go back and redo Coda's World in some form with those characters, with what I've learned. And I tried that. I had this one plot idea. It was post-apocalyptic, and it was terrible. I mean, there's some elements from there I liked, but maybe I'll do that for another story sometime. So what I realized, the point of this isn't to come up with some fantastic plot. I want to do something with the characters, and the best way to do that is come up with the simplest plot to do it. So I stuck them in high school. I just de-aged them. I made them younger, stuck them in high school, and started coming up with some revamped stuff. And I got 3 issues into that series, man. 3 whole issues into Mailbox Rocket Ship when I realized I am not having fun, I'm not enjoying this, and this is not what I wanted this series to be. Now, instead of continuing and sort of living a lie with the readers of the series, I decided, well, you know what, let's just stop it, set it aside for a while until you can devote enough mental power toward making it good. And that was, geez, maybe 2012, I think, I was doing it. And it's 2014, and I decided it was time to dust it off. Actually, late 2013, I realized I wanted to dust it off, but my dad went in the hospital. That put the kibosh on doing any new projects. I could keep going with Aaron Apprentice because, well, that's mapped out. So, the new series, recently, I figured out what I wanted to do with it, how to start it, how to introduce the characters in a much more natural, flowing way, and what to do with it. So, I just started. I set up a website for Mailbox, which kind of forced me to start making comics. So, we got 2 pages up so far. 3 pages up so far. And after the second page, I actually started writing a little bit. I want to focus on the characters more than a plot, which is, you know, that's what I did with Coda's World. We come up with these situations, but the characters drove the story. So I sat down with my TARDIS journal, and I started making notes about the characters, just like a paragraph or two apiece, talking about their personalities, their families, and how they interact with some of the other people. And it's been really helpful so far, to be honest. The thing is, I got to one character, and I kind of wanted to do this, but I was terrified of doing it. I want to take one character who will remain nameless for now and make them bisexual. Now, this wasn't to try and, like, do some sort of, you know, make it sexy. I just wanted a character that was. And I can't explain why. And Kit thought it was a good idea. Mike thought it was a good idea. And I decided I wasn't going to do it. I took that out of that character and was going to put in another character further down the road. My reason for doing that was, I'm terrified of screwing it up. Now, I don't mean the character by making them bisexual. I mean screwing up a portrayal of a bisexual character. I'm concerned with the idea of portraying that character in a positive light and not making them a stereotype, if that makes any sense. So, what I decided is, and I was going to, like, do some research. I was going to go online, talk to some people that I know that are bisexual. or try to and talk to other people, like some transgender people, some people that just like dressing up as opposite gender, just all sorts of different types of people, and try to get a diverse cast. I'm trying to put more African Americans in the comic. I'm trying to do a lot of stuff that's a bit more forward thinking, because I don't try to intentionally be elitist as far as like white male character stuff goes. It's just, y'all gotta understand, it's hard to think outside of who you were raised by, and I want to, so that's what I'm doing. And the bisexual thing, though, I was going to do research. I don't really know how you do personal research on bisexuality other than jumping in with both feet, but like I said, I was going to interview some people, try to get some information on how they see the world, how they act toward other people, how their relationships with same sex goes, stuff like that. And I was like, I'm going to come back to this further down the road and do it. And then I realized that is a terrible idea. And the reasons that's a terrible idea, there's two good ones. First off, Kit said, it's better to do it and get it wrong than fix it than to wait until you can get it right. So I'm just going to throw the character in there, and we're going to see how that character works, how that portrayal works. Great. The other reason is because by making it a big deal during the conception phase of this character, I'm kind of doing exactly what I don't want to do, which is sort of making it a big deal. I'm making this character alienated from the other characters during the production phase, and it's going to be weird when they go in. So I'm just going to go in and screw up and hope you guys will be watchdogs for me. And maybe, you know, I'll get a friendly email saying, hey, you might want to try having the character act like this toward the same sex and the opposite sex, or whatever. And, yeah, that's basically it. It's been one of those things. It's been heavy on my mind all week until I made the decision, and now I'm happy. So, that being said, I've pretty much run out of stuff to talk about, and there is a dog barking so loud, I'm sure y'all can hear it in the background. So I'm going to close, hand it off to, I'm guessing, Emily. Mike probably isn't going to have an entry this week because work's got him going crazy right now. So I will talk to you guys next week, so everybody stay safe and stay smaggy.
Hello, Smagpies. This is Emily tuning in for another week of Group Solitaire. Woohoo! And it's springtime. Like, it's officially spring. It's been officially spring for a little while. However, it has also been very much a April showers bring May flowers kind of year. We had lots and lots and lots of rain, which, judging by the fact that everyone kept talking about the Pearl River, which is our nearest big river, having had an Easter flood back in the 70s, apparently lots and lots of rain and around Easter is really not uncommon. But we actually had a really, really pretty Easter weekend. I didn't really celebrate this holiday, but I did really celebrate the weather, and I got to relax a little bit, and we started a garden over again, kind of. We had some little seedlings at the house, and they had a mishap with some of the very heavy rain that I mentioned previously, and the beds that we had started kind of working on earlier, kind of late winter, those got taken over by weeds. Mulch, people. Mulch can be your friend. So we're kind of starting over with the beds. Gonna make some that are more narrow, hopefully a little easier to manage, a little deeper, so that we do not get them taken over by weeds so readily. I'm gonna be finishing that tomorrow. And we got some tomatoes and squash, and we have some cucumber and some other things that have survived. And yeah, okay, we kind of cheated and went ahead and bought a tomato plant, because the little seedlings for those were some of the ones that we lost. So I bought a couple of tomato plants and So we'll see how that goes. We'll update you guys, hopefully be sharing with some of the members on the Smagcast. Anyway, what are you guys planting in your gardens? Are you doing container-type gardens? Do you plant in a bed somewhere? Do you have it at your house? Are you part of a community garden? I had a friend in New Orleans, and he had a little community garden right nearby. They did raised beds, so it was on top of the native soil, trying not to get any of that in there because, quite frankly, it was in an area where you probably didn't want whatever chemicals had been washing off both the railroad tracks and the streets. So they made raised beds out of cinder blocks, which they'd painted so that they would look... Well, no, these were just plain cinder blocks. Okay, they went... You can... Cinder blocks are great because they're cheap and they're sturdy, and if you want to, you can paint them so that they're not just gray, gravelly colored. And so anyway, he had that like right across the street. The only problem was New Orleans doesn't really ever get all that cold for very long. Excuse me. So they couldn't really do things like lettuces or anything like that. And if you're trying to grow without sprays, it can be quite the tricky task because there are so many insects and pretty much right away that just want to eat your plants. And something I've noticed growing plants before, they are domesticated plants, your garden plants like tomatoes and lettuces and so forth. And like most domesticated things, we made them easier to eat. But not just for us. We made them easier to eat for everyone. This is true of both plants and animals. Please see previous references to formerly raising chickens for both meat for a little while and then mostly for eggs. Chickens are really easy critters for predators to eat, mostly because we needed them to be really easy for us to eat. But our plants, we did the same thing too, and so when you have something like lettuce or spinach or anything like that, especially that's just a big scrumptious leaf, well, it's not just scrumptious to we humans that are trying to grow it and have developed it to be so scrumptious and easy to eat, munch. But anyway, so that's fun, and we've been watching a couple of guys on YouTube. One of them kind of focuses on turning your whole garden into a food source, which is really cool, and for someone like me who doesn't particularly care about mowing the lawn, it's also very appealing that you would, you know, one day create a yard that's nothing but containers for plants and then walkways so that your dogs can't trample them and you don't have to mow. I like this idea. And then there's this really excitable guy whose family is apparently from Hawaii, because he went there and told us that his family was from Hawaii. And he's out in California, and he's really excited and talks with his thumbs, and I think his first name is John, but I'm not sure. But his whole thing is, anyone can grow some food, and you don't need a whole lot of money, and here's some good ways to do it. And he's all about being organic, and they're both channels are really good about pushing not just the word or term organic, but talking to you about like worm castings, how to collect those, how you can just start raising them in your house. Vermiculture is what it's called, for those of you who want to be all scientific sounding. And they also talk about things like rock dust and, you know, composting and all these wonderful things. They also talk a little bit about biochar and kind of how to do it. But they're also doing tests. Like, these people aren't just saying, hey, this is a good idea because it's all warm and fuzzy and friendly to the environment. They've actually gone and done testing so they can show you this does this for the, you know, like, rock dust helps improve, you know, soil and breathability, or I actually don't know, I haven't seen anything specific about that, but have seen a good bit about biochar, which is where, and this is, okay, so slash and burn agriculture isn't very good in the way that we have come to know it in the modern era, where you slash everything and just burn it. That's not very helpful, because you're burning up all of the potential nutrients. But when you burn it a little bit, and you basically create like charcoal, so it's not completely destroyed, and that goes back into the soil. That's actually quite a good soil additive. And with the biochar, what they do is they kind of do something like that, and then they inoculate it with all these little microorganisms. So you have this thing that's already got this structure of holes and everything, so it can help with keeping the ground from getting too compacted, and it can also help aerate it and all that good stuff. But it also carries with it this helpful micronutrients with these microbes to get into the soil. So that's really cool. And the guy who does the thing about gardening in your backyard or making your yard into a garden, he's actually running a test right now on some of his plants to see how exactly and like kind of what stages and all that does the biochar help. And he's also got some viewers participating and sending in their information, so it's kind of a multi-garden test to see, you know, how beneficial it is or in what ways it is beneficial. So I really, you know, it might not be the most stringent of, you know, testing parameters, but it's something. But you know, there's the local radio guy for Mississippi and Felder Rushing who talks about gardening, and you know, sometimes he's kind of like, and I think all of these people will tell you, when it comes down to it, if you want to try to grow it, just go ahead and try to grow it, and if, you know, learn from it. Don't give up if it doesn't work right away. Just try to figure out, like, you know, and read things, and if you want to get into it and try to grow the biggest or best or whatever, you know, go read about what kind of soil it likes, whether it likes a more base soil or an acidic soil or sandy soil, or it likes to be, you know, in a marshier area or whatever. Go find that stuff out. Some of that you can find really easily. Some of the other stuff where you, like, really start getting into the pH and you get into all the soil additives, you know, maybe that's daunting to you, but if you feel like you want to try planting something, go do some, you know, just do a quick Google search and go give it a try, man. Just, if you're feeling the need to plant something, guys, just go out there and plant. Add some life to the world. I think it's always nice, and heck, who knows, you might end up with a salad at the end of it. Although, it's getting a little warm for lettuces. So, that's what I have been thinking about and talking about a little bit. I'm always up for a conversation on domestication, that two-way street that it is. And I think that raising food is very interesting. I also really enjoy eating the food later. So, let us know what you like to plant and what you like to grow and what you like to cook. And let us know what you have going in your pots or in your gardens this year. And we'll catch you next week, smagpies. So I'm going to pass it on to whoever else is next. Goodbye, and stay smaggy.
Hello, smagpies. It's Paul. I'm back, and I recently thought about something. I was on Facebook the other day, and up at the top, I don't like to view top stories. I don't like the idea of top stories about how somebody's whatever they happen to be saying or the picture they're posting is more important than anybody else's stuff. Also at the same time, I don't like the fact that when somebody posts something and then somebody later comments on it, it gets moved back up to the top of your news feed. It's just like, well, I've already seen this and I didn't actually comment on it, or I didn't like it or anything like that, so why does it keep being put back up at the top? Don't really care. But that brings me to the thought that I had. It's called a news feed. Why on earth is it called a news feed? There's about as much news there is as there is on Fox News. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's like, you know, sure, I mean, there's occasionally times where there's an interesting story that somebody posts, and I'm like, yeah, that's great, that's news. You know, I've learned something today. Go me. But most of the time, it's just like just the most inane crap. You know, pictures of people's cats or whatnot like that. I mean, I guess maybe they should just call it the feed, or like crap feed or something like that, because it's really not news in any way. It's not like I'm going to go to my 20-year reunion this weekend. Go class of 93. Yeah, 20-year reunion, 2014. You do the math. We obviously cannot. But yeah, it's not like I'm going to go to my 20-year reunion, go up to somebody I haven't seen in a while. It's like, hey man, what's up with you? It turns out I'm the 80s hit classic movie The Goonies. What? Do you like The Goonies? No. I took a quiz. Says I'm The Goonies. It also turns out that I'm the color yellow, and I'm a unicorn. And here, this entire time, the entire pantheon of mythical animals, I thought I was a minotaur, but I got unicorn. Really brings into question some of the choices I've made in life now. But see, it's stuff like that. It's these stupid quizzes everybody's taking, too. I don't care if you're Robert Baratheon from Game of Thrones, which should be Song of Ice and Fire, but whatever. You're not that person. And sure, you identify with it, maybe, but I mean, most of the time it's like, here's 10 questions. You get a pre-made character thing that you could put on your Facebook. Yay! So everybody could say, oh, look, you're a square. Or, hooray, you're a tulip today. And I just see this all the time. I'm like, why is this even on there? Is there possibly a way that I can hide everything that's a quiz? Because it's just a waste of time for me. I don't care what you get. And please don't post it. The other thing that really just Facebook just bothers the heck out of me with are the check-ins. Now, I see a lot of people who, it's like, you know, Tanya Smith or whoever. Tanya Smith is at Courthouse Racquet Club and gym. And I'm like, wow, how utterly lazy do you have to be now? I mean, used to be it's like, hey guys, I'm going to the gym. It's leg day or something like that. But now it's just like, yeah, okay, I'm here. I've checked in. Yeah, everybody knows I'm here. You know, in case I need an alibi for something, I'm here. I'm at the grocery store now. Hey guys, did you know I'm at the grocery store? Cool. Okay, I'm checking in at my house now. Yeah. I just, that's just like a complete and utter waste of time. I mean, why can't we just have some substance in posts these days instead of just, I'm over here at the movies. Not even saying which movie you're going to go see. But yeah, stuff like that is just rather annoying lately with Facebook. And Facebook on the whole has just gotten a lot worse. I mean, the new layout is, it makes all the stories kind of run together. The white background and the slightly gray boxes, or vice versa, I forget which one it is. But yeah, it's hard to tell where one thing stops and the next thing starts. I'm pretty much now only using Facebook for birthdays, so I don't have to remember them. Because yes, I'm lazy too, instead of like texting somebody, which granted, most of the time on Facebook, the people who have birthdays, I don't really have any way of getting in contact with them other than Facebook, but still, it's like, hey, you know, hey, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Here's a really weird video. Congratulations on surviving. But, yeah, see, and it kind of comes and goes. Like, right now, we're in a phase where everybody has to take a bunch of quizzes. Before that, I forget what it was, but, you know, there was, like, when games got to be really big on there, which I guess probably they still are. I've blocked so many game requests that it's just nuts. And people too, that's another thing that I keep blocking. Which that feature I do really like, actually, is the unfollow. Because some people I'm still friends with, and if I choose to see what they're doing, then I can, but if I unfollow them, I don't have to sit there and in the middle of the workday and look at people being angry because other people can have abortions and they don't think it's right, so they want to impose all of their judgment upon them through Facebook. Whatever. So yeah, but games got pretty big for a long time. They probably still are. I mean, I used to play certain games. I played Farmville when it first came out. I had fun with that, but it just kind of got to be somewhat repetitive, really, more than anything else. There was another game, it was like Axis and Allies, but it wasn't really Axis and Allies. You built up and, you know, you got invaded and you built ships and airplanes and stuff, and you could go invade other things. I don't remember what it was. It was fun while it lasted, but after a while, it's just like, I can't keep up with this. You know, you get to a point where it's, you know, in the beginning, it's like, yeah, okay, I've got 5 action points. I've only got 5 things I can do anyway. And then once you've been playing for a while, it's like, hey, I've got 5 action points, and I really need to do this, and I've got about 30 things I need to do, but I can't do them because I don't have enough action points. So you just count it up, because like, well, okay, I'll prioritize. I'll do this here, and then I'll do this here, and I'm like, wait, I'm playing games on Facebook. It doesn't really matter. So I would stop, because I really didn't need to be doing that, frankly. I mean, there's plenty of other more important games to be doing, like Minecraft. Or Don't Starve, which I've been playing a lot for Facebook. Actually, Emily and I just did a video map thing that I actually need to edit at some point pretty soon, I think. Because that would be a good thing to do, yeah. Anyway, so Facebook, yeah. Problems with Facebook. I really don't remember what else I was going to talk about at this point. I should have probably written it down, but oh well. Anyway, I know it's kind of short for a group solitaire for me, and I don't think I have any stories this week. No stories. So anyway, I will see you guys next time, and I'll hand it off to Kevin to close out the show. Bye!
This has been The Smagcast. If you have any thoughts or questions, you can email us at thesmagcast@gmail.com. Our theme music is Out of School by Jazar from the album Traveler's Guide, which is available from freemusicarchive.org and used under Creative Commons license.